Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, August the 8th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are live weekdays, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez is with us. Lots to talk about with the upcoming August 26 primary here in the state of Arizona. Joining me to question Ms. Rodriguez, Dylan Smith, founder, editor, and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. If you have a question or comment about the upcoming primary election for F. Ann Rodriguez, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. Dylan, how are you?
Just fine. Happy to be here, as always.
And we are delighted to have F. Ann Rodriguez with us. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's election season.
It is election season. That's when you always ramp up, get things really rolling. And I think there is confusion for the growing number of independent voters who feel like maybe they don't have a role in this primary election, and nothing could be really further from the truth.
It's absolutely correct. You know, the state of Arizona, which was passed by the voters several years ago, that allows those that are independent registered voters, or we call them party not designated, where they may have left the voter registration blank, so they don't want to participate in the recognized political parties, that they can vote in primary elections for the state. So in this county, we have over 156,000 registered, we call them others, that are not affiliated with the major political parties that are eligible to vote in the primary election. They simply just need to choose which political party ballot they would like us to send for them in their ballot if they choose to vote by mail. However, I do want to stress, we're trying to educate people, just because they make a political party choice, it does not, and I emphasize, does not change their voter registration status. They will remain as registered as an independent or party not designated. We just have to determine which political party ballot to send them.
So they can call your office and say, I'd like the Republican or the Democrat primary ballot for early voting. What if they want to actually go to the polls election day?
The same process with there. They can walk into their assigned polling location for this particular election, and they would just tell the poll worker which political party ballot for that they would like to vote in this election. They can, if they want to vote by mail, and like right now we have over 64% of the registered voters in Pima County that are on the permanent early voting list, which is the vast majority of the registered voters. So they can either have a couple options. They can call my office at 724-4330, go online at recorder.pima.gov, click on early ballot and do a request online. Just tell us which political party ballot, and we will send it out the next day.
What's the deadline for that? How long do people have to request an early ballot?
The deadline is next Friday, which is August 15th, 5 p.m., to request that early ballot. We'll also have lots of early voting site locations for those people that like to go into an early vote site and locations. My three recorder's office are now open. Monday we open up some other ones. We even do it on the Tohono Nation and on the Pascal Yaqui tribes. Again, this information is on the recorder's website, recorder.pima.gov, and click on early voting sites.
And those early voting locations will be open between the expiration of the being able to request an early ballot and election day, that stretch there, right?
Well, no, they're actually opened already.
But it's not like you have to show up before that deadline to early vote.
You can
vote between now and election day.
My early voting sites are open. I'm going to my schedule here. Mm-hmm. Are open until Friday, August 22nd. So they're open up an additional week past the deadline to request an early ballot. I even have an election calendar, so that information is out there for the voters.
And can people request an early ballot only for the Democratic and Republican primaries, or can you vote in for one of the not that there are really any contested races, but for one of the other parties.
Yes. Right now in this county, the affiliated or the recognized political parties are registered Democratic. That's the majority registration. And then there's the Republican. We also have Green, and we have Libertarians, and we have AEL, which is American Elect. Those are the recognized political parties in Pima County and that we offer ballots for, you know, whether they all have candidates running for them on the smaller party. I forgot also the Libertarians. They can select those particular party ballots. Now, what's a little bit different is the town of Oro Valley, which is also having their council elections. So, and those are nonpartisan. So we're having to handle and educate the voters in Oro Valley a little bit different. But those voters in there can, if they're in, let's say if they're registered independent, and they don't want to vote for Democrat or Republicans or Greens, the recognized political parties, but they only want to vote for the mayor and council, we will just send them a ballot for the mayor and council.
Because those are nonpartisan elections.
Those are nonpartisan elections, yes.
12:10 on the Buckmaster Show. FN, I'm going to ask you to slip your headset on so we can go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles is with us, Charles Heller. Go ahead, Charles. Hey, Charles.
Willing.
How are you?
Thanks for being willing to come. Good. Thanks for being willing to come on the air with Bill. I got a couple questions. Number one, how do I make sure I never on the list for a mail ballot? Because I don't believe I believe that, you know, non-lazy voters should go to the poll and cast their ballot on election day. Number one, and number two, how do you deal with the election people who can't find your name on the rolls when it's there? I mean, you told me last election cycle. They're required by law to provide you with a copy of the listing of ballots. They're supposed to have a list that you can actually look at and find your own name. How do you do that?
Well, it's number one to answer your first question, how to make sure that you're not on the permanent early voting list. Is that what, so you won't get a ballot? You would have had to sign up. If you're unsure, you can call my office at 724-4330, and they can pull up your record to see if you ever filled out a form to be actually on the list. That's number one. Did you receive a ballot for the primary election, Charles, yet?
Charles?
I have no idea. Nothing comes at the mail, so I never look at it.
Oh, Charles, you're one of those. Okay, but you would have already received your ballot, so yeah. That's what it is. And I see your name. I'll even call my office off air, and you can give Rosemary, and I can have them look at it, and I'll give you a call back. Okay, Charles. Now to answer the second question, why you're not on the signature roster? Again, they should allow you to look up your own name because the information is upside down. They have two forms, a signature roster and a signature register, so that you can find your own name on that if the poll worker is unable to locate your name.
All right, 790-2040. As far as the on-site locations, has that number been decreasing steadily as the mail-in ballot percentage increases?
Yeah, most people are voting by mail. It's about 80% of those people who actually cast a ballot in elections are now voting by mail, and the remainder is at a polling their assigned polling location on election day.
I'm still old school. I like to show up on election day and
that's okay.
Stand in line for a couple minutes and cast my ballot.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, you know, Charles can also find out, anybody can find out where your assigned polling location for any election. Again, on my website, recorder.pima.gov, click on polling location. Type in your address, and it'll tell you where your assigned polling location for that election. Now, people have to keep in mind that polling locations, and I don't select polling locations, that's by the Elections Department, but the information is on my website. Polling locations are sometimes subject to availability. You know, they may be remodeling schools, you know, not opened, or the church facility or whatever, but polling sites are subject to availability.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Ingrid is with us. She called 790-2040 for FN Rodriguez. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Hi.
Rodriguez. I have a potpourri of questions, and you may have to pick and choose. I received a form from the from your department that I had to fill out. Allegedly, it was for the purpose of updating information and signatures. They say your signature can change due to health and aging and so forth. And the wrong party was put on that form. It was already on the form, and I questioned that. And I was told it was done by default because they didn't know what party I belonged to. so by default, they put Democrat.
That sounds a little suspicious.
Yes.
All of our forms should not have any party affiliations on any of them. That section is left blank. When did I know about the letter, the signature update, and that's our standard letter. When did you get this letter?
Several months ago, and I mailed it back in, and we had some big discussions about the issue. Brad Nelson said he didn't know that there was a default.
There is no default.
Okay, that's why he didn't know about
it. Wanting your signature sounds a little suspicious.
Well, we do periodically have to have updated of signatures because people age through time. Sometimes when people do register through Service Arizona, which is through MVD, depending on which pin they used, they were originally using a really fat pin, and it comes across electronically. That's how we get it from MVD. It came off like a blob, and so that's why we'll do it, because we can't read it. We can't decipher it. So that's where it is.
Okay.
But, Ingrid, if you would mind giving Rosemary your phone number, and I'll look that up for you.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll take our break right here as we push now toward 12:16 on the Friday Focus interview with FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. FN has been at the job now for over two decades. She's in 21 years as the Pima County Recorder. Dylan Smith is here as well, and we'll be back right after the first break of the Buckmaster Show. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dylan Smith is here, editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. And FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. I had a caller during the break. FN, you want to talk a little bit about write-in votes? What's the deal with that?
Yes, we do have an official write-in list. That means the candidates have filed with either the election department, also for Secretary of State's office. I believe we have a write-in candidate for treasurer, and I can't remember the other race statewide. But yes, they are. I'm not sure if the elections department has them posted on their website, but we do have them posted in our early voting site location, and they're on the instruction sheet that is included in the their early ballot. There's a website that they can go to. I'm quickly looking at it, and I think the election department is supposed to have the official website of who these write-in candidates are.
You've got a PDF on your site. I tracked that down yesterday when I was looking up something.
For the write-in candidates?
Yeah, there's a Republican write-in candidate for governor, I believe.
And a Democrat for state treasurer and stuff.
And some local races, you know, some JP candidates and things like that.
Yeah, so it's on there. If you go to pima.gov/elections, or you can call 724-6830 and to make sure that who the official write-in candidates are, because there is a process to be an official write-in candidate.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if a candidate is not an officially declared write-in candidate, if somebody votes for them that doesn't get counted, if Mickey Mouse wins the race.
We do get Mickey Mouse sometimes.
You don't tally votes for Mickey Mouse
or for themselves.
So someone gets their write-in, or someone gets their early ballot, they can write in a candidate.
They should make sure that it's an official write-in candidate.
You can always vote for whomever you want, but
and
that
again,
doesn't mean
on the blue instruction,
it's going to work out well.
In the blue instruction sheets it tells them where the website is, and there's a phone number out to make sure who the official writing candidates
are. All right,
Rose. And Bill Buckmaster did not file his paperwork in time.
No, he didn't.
Rose has been busy fielding lots of questions. Lots of questions for you, FN, about this election. Terry, you are up next. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I'm always suspicious. Don't call me that, but.
That's okay, Terry. Go ahead.
Life is short. We want to get treated, the voters need to be treated the best possible. Look, we don't know. We know you're a Democrat. That's official, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And you should be proud of it, like I'm an independent and proud of it. And, okay, now, how do you get the people in there to actually, who are the people actually, at the end of the day, who count the votes, and are they official, are they off the streets, are they a mixture of Republicans / independents, communists, or who are the official people there? Do they have to wear name tags? Are they off the streets?
Okay, I get the gist.
Okay,
well, first of all, let me explain what I do in my department. I do hire people. We do pay them. They're not volunteers. They're early retirees, and we come in and train them because my office is responsible for actually mailing the ballots, receiving the ballots back in their ballot affidavit. We check the signatures. We do not open up the ballot affidavits. We turn them over to the Division of Elections, who have early boards. on the early boards are our two members of the opposing party that are in a big room that open the actual ballots, and then the political party chairmen here locally will appoint representatives to actually be in the room to actually count the ballots. I'm not responsible for doing that one. But if you check the Division of Elections website, they also have a video camera available that you can sit there and watch them 24/7 if they have to be working the late hours to actually watch them count the ballots. But there are observers of the opposing political parties overviewing and seeing that operation. Does that answer your question?
All right, I think that did. Chuck is up next. Chuck is up with us on 790-2040. Go ahead, Chuck. You're with FN.
Yes, FN. I, like Charles, am not a fan of the mail-in ballot. I hate it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the city, when we have an all-city election, I am forced to use the mail-in ballot. My question to you is, how do I know and can verify whether you received that ballot and whether it was processed?
Okay, I cannot speak for the city of Tucson election. I can speak for our elections here in Pima County. If a voter received an early ballot, this is how the process works. Once they submit the ballot to the post office and we receive it, we open up the outbound envelope, which is the yellow envelope. We take their ballot, which is the ballot affidavit, which has a signature. Inside is the ballot. We actually scan it by the barcode, and we take a picture of the their signature on it. And they can go to my website, recorder.pima.gov, click on early ballot status and type in the information, and it will tell the voter when we actually received it. That's the first step. The second step will tell the voter if we accepted their signature or if we have a problem with their signature and they need to call my office. And then the third step, once we finished it, is when we accepted the signature and we run the turnover report, we said we have now processed it and turned it over to the Division of Elections for tabulation purposes. So the voters in Pima County can actually track it like UPS.
Okay.
Okay.
And with the city, we've gone through two election cycles now with what they call the all-mail-in mm-hmm. process. So that's four elections with the primary and the general. And there are still election sites open on election day, and I still go vote at those.
You're the replacement sites.
You're not restricted to using that mail-in ballot. You can still walk in and do it in person if you want to.
And that's by statute, that even when we did the Sunnyside recall, even though the board called it an all-ballot by mail elections, we had two locations in Sunnyside School District that people, if they wanted to come in and get a replacement ballot, they could actually do that one. Now, at a replacement ballot site, there is no ballot scanning device. They'll still be putting in an envelope for tabulation to be brought downtown.
All right, just about out of time with FN Rodriguez, but we did want to ask you about the Pima County Board of Supervisors turned down a couple of measures this week that had to do with elections. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I from what I understand, and again, I'm not responsible for the elections department. That's under the demise of the county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry. There's two things. They're going out for a ballot counting system. And so that's in the 90s version. We got to get an updated one. The other one is how they do auditing of the early ballots, and that is a procedure that they're discussing. Right now there is a system where they can audit. They just want to expand the audit counting process. So I don't know if the commission is going to go back to the drawing board with something new, but we'll see what they come up with.
All right. Joseph is up next at 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Joseph, go ahead. You're with FN Rodriguez.
Hi. I'd like to ask about how the current voting procedures, both the mail-in and the way where you go in and scan in your ballot, how those can ensure the secret ballot. When I think about the sort of an old-time way of doing it, you go into a booth by yourself, you fill out a paper ballot, fold it over, put it in a box by yourself. It's in a random mess of things. There's no way of tracing a vote to any particular person. But it seems that there are a number of ways in which you could have either a third party watch someone say, look, if you want to get benefits from me, you need to fill out your ballot in front of me, your home ballot, and put it in the mailbox where I can see it. There's also ways in which poll workers, and I've seen this many times, when they're helping you put your ballot into the scanner, are basically in a position to see some of your votes.
Hmm.
And I'm just wondering, are there guarantees in law or the Constitution that we have a secret ballot, and to what extent are our procedures making sure that happens?
Okay.
Okay, well, I can address the voting process by mail. When you mail your ballot, that's why we have it in a secrecy envelope, which is the white ballot affidavit. You put your voted ballot inside of it, and then you put it inside of another envelope to mail to us. What my office does is we don't open up the actual voted ballot that's inside the white ballot affidavit. We check the signature and move it on to the Department of Elections. I understand the process, what the election's done, because I have seen it. You'll have two people sitting at a table of the opposing party. They will check off that they have a list of, we say, these are all the voters in this packet, you know, and they'll check it off and then make sure that it's there. And then at that time, they will then open up the ballot affidavit. And what they do is they open it up, they separate it out, and then they separate it, the ballot that, affidavit that has your name, your signature, in a separate thing. There's two people, the opposing party. Then they'll open up the voted ballot, spread it out to make sure that everything is there. By that time, they've separated. There are observers in this big room. There's like 15 groups of people doing this, and that's as much as I understand it. Now, if somebody is sitting there intentionally looking at, I recognize this name and looking at it, because the other person of the opposing party is watching them too. So there's already somebody watching somebody.
Okay, FN Rodriguez, thank you very much. We are out of time. We had a lot of good calls that came in. Hopefully we gave some very good information for folks. So more information at
recorder.pima.gov. Click on, they can find all the information there, or 724-4330. And I'd love to come back and do another show because
sure.
Seems to have a lot of
interest. There's a lot of interest,
and we want to make sure that we give the information out correctly.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Dylan, stick around, okay?
You bet.
All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show with the Friday Roundtable.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan Bottled Water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan Bottled Water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Friday Roundtable. Mari Herreras is here, Tucson Weekly writer, staff writer, and Dylan is with us as well, sticking around. Dylan Smith from our interview with F. Ann Rodriguez. Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. A lot of good questions, Dylan, from the listeners for F. Ann Rodriguez.
Well, people are always a little bit worked up around election issues, certainly, and rightly so in many cases. You know, trying to make sure that ballots are counted properly is pretty much the most fundamental expectation we can have of government.
Yeah, and confusion about independence and the write-ins, but the bottom line...
Who gets to vote and who can vote for what and how they get counted. And
Mari, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You know, there was that endorsement, Scott Smith, one of the six Republican candidates for governor, endorsed. There was a big news conference and deal yesterday up in Phoenix. The governor announced she was supporting Scott Smith, and then Sarah Palin announced that she was backing Doug Ducey. I don't know. Maybe my gut feeling is that endorsements really don't mean a lot. What do you guys think?
You know, every once in a while, one can be a little bit telling. I don't know that anybody in this particular race carries all that much political sway. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be making their decision that, oh, I'll vote for him because Sarah Palin endorsed him, or I'll vote for Scott Smith because Dan Brewer endorsed him.
It could work the opposite way.
It can, right.
See,
really want Sarah Palin to give
What
you
if you're not a huge fan of Sarah Palin and Sarah Palin saying, Doug Ducey is the person, he's going to do exactly what I do. I mean, then you're going to take a negative.
I think there are certain areas where endorsements are kind of interesting to watch, though. Like the TUSD school candidate race, has been interesting just to see some of the candidates and the endorsements that they've received, which kind of, you know, automatically sets them apart a bit from the other candidates. You understand where their support's coming from and who's out there supporting their campaign. So there's the little campaigns like that that get interesting endorsements, I think, can say a lot as well. A
lot of candidates for the school boards.
Nine?
9 for TUSD, I
That's
think.
Not as many as it was last time
12
around.
12 last time.
A dozen people lined up in a debate last time.
That was crazy.
Pretty daunting just to try and pay attention to.
Of course, there are two incumbents. The board chair, Atalita Grijalva, and Michael Hicks are the two incumbents out of the 9 candidates.
And a return, Miguel Cuevas
That's
is returning,
right.
or wants to,
running again
right.
after having been ousted.
Lots of education-related items, Mari, and that's kind of one of your beats at the Tucson Weekly. We had Ames reading scores improving a bit. math performance kind of holding steady, and then we had the grades for the state schools, all public schools, and Tucson area schools. How would you characterize how they did? Sort of like so-so?
TUSD schools in particular, not much in terms of change, I think, from the year before. But some schools where, I know there's a lot of folks out there that don't necessarily agree with the whole grading system, and that it doesn't necessarily mean a lot. And last year when we were dealing with the whole school closure issue, and, you know, there was the thing with the Catalina Magnet High School principal who was not, his contract was not renewed. Mm-hmm. That's a school that has a huge, huge refugee population, and they were working their butts off at that time to bring their grade up. They did. He still lost his job. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not happy about that.
They're teaching kids who speak some 55 different languages in that school, and that's that's way beyond the challenge of teaching, you know, bilingual courses and what we normally think of it.
Rex Scott, the former Catalina school principal, and I know that when Mark Stegman was on the program earlier in the summer, we were talking about Mr. Scott and being released from the contract, and there something came up. I believe Dr. Stegman said it was a performance issue. Mr. Scott said he certainly would like to come back to kind of rebuttal that here on the show and set the record straight. And now we're going to have him on Thursday at the top of the show. Rex Scott will be with us.
Good for you.
He'll be coming on the show Thursday at noon. He has landed on his feet. He's got a nice job in, I believe, the Marana school system as a principal there. But he kind of wants to, he kind of feels vindicated with the grade. I think Catalina went from a D up to a C.
Yeah, they sure did. So. They sure did. And we saw that, you know, again, like during this closure a couple years ago, there were schools that were teetering there that were working their butts off and were hoping that they'd have the time. And
those school grades are a pretty broad brush. You know, I don't know how accurate of a picture it is that to try and differentiate between a school that's a D or a C or a B. You know, hopefully a school that's getting a solid A for years on end is probably a good school and teaching their kids very well. But once you get beyond that, what they're measuring, is very a very difficult thing to quantify in such, you know, giant steps.
Dylan Smith is here. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com and Mary Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. Also concerning TUSD, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's something that you've covered extensively, the desegregation case back in the news. What was the news this week? Can you give us a bottom line on that? I know TUSD has said not to be happy with the news.
Right. There's the judge Brewery, who's been handling his case for years now. He said that the TUSD, there's going to be a mediator put in place, or the special master has own legal counsel, which is just, I mean, on one case, it's just absolutely ridiculous. It blows my mind because the fact is that, you know, we have a school district who's still fighting the deseg issue and a court order. They are under a federal court order. No matter how you think about it or the opinion on that, or do we really need desegregation plan for TUSD, it doesn't matter. They are under a court order, and they are under that order and under a unitary status plan that they actually worked on together with all the people before Brewery said, okay, here it is, and here's Dr. Holly, he's going to be working with you. Have fun. I'll look forward to hearing from you guys.
That USP plan is still somewhat vague on a whole lot of the details about how things
actually
will be implemented.
It's not that vague. It's actually
pretty... Well, it says, you know, you will hire someone to do X, but it doesn't really lay out exactly what X entails, and that's what people are still arguing about.
They're arguing about even more than just that, though. And I think that the fact is that they've never even gone into implementing those things to figure out how those will look, I think says a lot about the district sometimes in terms of the DSEG plan and complaining about how much this attorney is going to cost. I mean, you know,
that's a tiny drop in the bucket.
Well, it's like the it's like the governor and the general, and you know, this Arizona mentality of like, well, we'll just keep spending money on attorneys. We'll implement the plan.
It's a good state to be a lawyer that's associated with government.
Well, this guy's from D.C., the lawyer that they're bringing in to be the special master's attorney. He's a
Holly's got some connections. This man's been doing this stuff for a long time.
I think it's paid like what, $400, $600 an hour?
I mean, yeah, I think
Dylan,
it's
we went into the wrong
certainly
profession.
About five. Yeah, I think it's about $475 an hour, actually. Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, floating that half-cent county sales tax for roads. This, of course, dead on arrival because you need a unanimous approval of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dylan and Allie Miller, who was with us on the show this week, said, no way.
Well, I haven't talked to a supervisor yet who would actually vote for it. I mean, I think this thing is more than, you know.
Yeah, it's more than.
Not just getting unanimous. Right now, it seems like almost a unanimous no.
I think Ray Carroll is against it.
Ray has really voted to raise taxes and never voted for a budget. Richard Elias said he supports the idea of having a conversation about how to better raise money for roads, but is not, you know, real hot on passing a sales tax. The sort of political sweetener in the pot that Huckleberry added to this was having a half-cent sales tax, but dedicating half of the revenue from that to reducing property taxes, which makes it a little more difficult for some of the supervisors to say no to, perhaps, because then they're saying, well, we don't want to cut property taxes. I think it's more of a political statement rather than a serious proposal of a policy. It's that, you know, hey, we've got road problems. We need to try and figure out how to raise money for it. Here are the things that we can do.
And so most supervisors, what are you going to do about
it? And most of them we can't do because it requires the permission of the legislature.
Mm. On my screen in front of me, I have TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, in a story you've put together, city is vague on details about the streetcar ridership. We, of course, heard that 60,000 people over a three-day period last weekend rode the streetcar, and of course it was free, and there was a lot of novelty associated with it. How did they do when folks had to start paying?
Well, we don't know how many people have paid to ride the streetcar. We know how many people got on and off the streetcar, and it's been a significant number and basically been in line with the projections that were made years ago.
About 3,500 a week, is that what they're...
Well, 3,600 a day.
Oh, a day.
Were projected when the federal government gave the RTA that Tiger grant that funded so much of it. The projection included in that grant application was 3,600 riders a day. And actually, through the first week of paid ridership, the number of trips daily averaged about 3,900. So above that, but we don't know how many people have paid because they really won't turn over those numbers. They say they don't have them yet. The management company that's running the streetcar has those numbers, but they only are, I guess, required to turn them over to the city on a monthly basis. And it's all kind of, it's difficult to break out because it is all wrapped up with SunTran. If somebody buys a pass for our transit system, it's good on all of the, you know, good for the bus, good for the streetcar. You can, you know, ride any of those off of the one pass. So
and SunTran.
It's a little complex, but the problem is that they are counting the number of people who get on and off, which includes the riders, which includes the transit enforcers, which includes the policemen who are riding. We have got a cop riding on every streetcar.
Anybody with a heartbeat that's riding.
Exactly.
I believe, Dylan, this calls for you with a clipboard to take a couple of days.
There you go. And just say, are you riding? Do a survey. Write everyone.
Just mark them down.
Just count the number. Are you riding and are you paying? That's the question.
Well, there have also been a few, you know, some reports of problems with the payment kiosks and with the fare readers on the cars. And, you know, that is the kind of thing that, well, maybe they should have tested it a little bit more through the long testing
period. And when they just got over the last debacle with the new card system and stuff.
That'll work itself over time. And we will eventually get accurate reports of how many people are paying to ride and be able to better judge. And, you know, this is a long-term investment. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to be able to judge whether it's successful after looking at it, you know, after a month and after 6 months and after a year, 2 years into it, 2 years from now, we'll have a much better idea of how, you know, really successful or not quite successful, or perhaps, you know, complete and total failure, but we're not seeing that at this point.
SunTran, no strike.
Yeah, they can't exactly call it last minute, but the clock was running out last night, and SunTran and the Teamsters Union came to an agreement for a one-year contract, which is a bit of a switch. They've usually run on a two-year agreement cycle, so we're going to be back to negotiations in about 9 months, really. But it's a $1 million package is what SunTran is calling it. That it's some pay increases to go to a one-time return to the step increases that drivers and mechanics had, and a small pay increase for those folks who are at the top end.
All right, and if you're a pedestrian, watch out. Tucson's one of the most dangerous cities for pedestrians. Dylan, I read that story in TucsonSentinel.com as well, but what's your theory of why?
Well, why are we
so
dangerous?
I mean, really, we don't have people any sidewalks.
That makes sense.
If you're walking around this town, in most places, there is no place that is for you to walk, and that makes things a little bit difficult.
I think that lends
itself to people who are jaywalking and crossing where there isn't a crosswalk just because you are not regulated at all. It's walk where you can.
All right, we're going to have to run. Mari Herreras, sure. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Dylan, always good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend, both of you. Back right with our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Oh, Rose, I don't know about you. When I hear that music, I am ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Anybody up for a road trip? Easy drive over to Silver City. Great weekend getaway, mile high elevation. That means cooler days and nice mild nights. Lots to do in historic Silver City. Find out all about the great things to do and places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, an award-winning publicist, and a gentleman who is always hungry and ready for a meal. How are you, my friend?
Well, what a coincidence. I'm ready for a meal, Bill Buckmaster. It's a few minutes before 1 o'clock. When do we eat?
You are ready for the lunch hour, I know. But actually, when you came into work this morning at Russell Public Communication, you were telling everybody you haven't the stomach was growling. So, I mean, you were ready at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, when my stomach growls, it means I probably haven't eaten in the last 10 minutes still.
Anybody looking for a happy hour?
Yeah, you know, of course, one of our favorite things about Fridays is the abundance of happy hours all across town. And our pick today, Bill, is Bodega Kitchen on River and Campbell in St. Philip's Plaza. Now, I love this happy hour because of its thoughtful cocktail program, which includes, get this, a margarita, which brings ancho chili liqueur and muddled mint to the classic tequila cocktail. You know, all of these innovative cocktails are $2 off today from 4 to 7, as are all of their small plates, like their grilled shrimp with a bourbon peach glaze. Friday is all about happy for me, so check out Happy Hour today at Bodega Kitchen.
And that was a muddled what?
Muddled mint with ancho chili liqueur in a margarita. I love it.
Oh, that sounds very, very tempting. How about anybody looking for the old beverage that does lots of suds?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what do you get when you combine Arizona wine, beer, and whiskey with some bacon-inspired foods and live music? It's an entire event based on bad decisions. In fact, they even call it the Bad Decisions Campout, and it's this weekend at Arizona Hops and Vines in Sonoyta. So from noon on Saturday, Bill, through 10 a.m. on Sunday, you can feast on all of these delicacies, and they call it a campout because you're invited to hang out there all weekend long. I think these guys have made the decision easy for everyone, so enjoy some great food, libations, and camping this weekend at Arizona Hops and Vine.
Oh, I love it. The overeating. Oh, bad decision. Well, let's just put it out there. It's a bad decision weekend. Anyway, wings and waffles?
Yeah, you know, I've always considered chicken wings and waffles to be two of the basic food groups, and this Sunday they're going to be having a competition among Tucson's very best at the Tucson Originals Wings and Waffles Showdown. Now, it all gets underway on Sunday at 4 p.m. at Pastiche over there on Campbell Avenue, and everyone is invited to come out and try them all, casting your vote for the best wings and waffles in Tucson. You can still get some tickets today while they're still available at TucsonOriginals.com. A lot of fun.
Oh, you got to love the Tucson food scene. Have you ever seen a community that has such wonderful variety of food groups, huh?
It's something we celebrate regularly.
What should we look for in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, you know, Bill, there's a chef in town who has developed a brand new menu that was inspired by his favorite kids' meals from the past. I call it a kids' table for grown-ups, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Great weekend to you, Matt.
Right back to you, sir.
Going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw comes up, one of our new local talk shows. Then Monday morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe with their show from 6 to 8, The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And of course, the Expert Talk here all weekend long. It's a lot of great local programming, beginning with the Garden Show with Phil Cedar. That sort of kicks things off tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of my team, my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, Rose and I wish you a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be back with you here on Monday afternoon at 12:04 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and at buckmastershow.com. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.